I've called my talk The Opportunity for Overflow. And it's a well-known story and one that always blesses me. You'll find it in 2 Kings 4. And picking up from verse 1, this is what it says. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, and afterward shut the door behind her and the sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left." May God bless his word to us as we reflect on what it has to say to us in this day and time in our lives. Despite the age I am, I know that I only look about 30, but I'm a bit older than that. Despite the age, I do love technology. But there's an element in which I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with technology. I love it, but I do hate it when it doesn't work. And there are times when it just seems so frustrating. And very often I do a lot on the computer, and I download certain things that I find, worship songs, etc. But there are times when I get a message that comes up, and it tells me that there is no more room left for any further downloads. And that if I want to download this new fresh thing, then I have got to create the room for that to happen. I want to say that in our lives, we sometimes so fill our lives with stuff, there is no download capacity for what God wants to give us. There are times when we are filled with either worry, despair, hopelessness, guilt, things that just grip our lives, and God wants to come and download into our lives something fresh, something vibrant, something that will transform us, but we do not have the capacity. And so as we begin looking at this story of the opportunity to overflow, I want you to allow God to begin to perhaps reveal to you something that perhaps you need to let go of, something that you need to ask him to remove from your life, something that perhaps you need to lay down, something that perhaps is holding you back from experiencing what God wants to accomplish in this new day and in this new season. And as a church, I want to challenge you in that as well. See, as a church, we have to be in that place where there is an openness and a willingness for God to do something new and to do something fresh, which may be different from what has been. As many of you know, as far as the Elam Church is concerned, when I stepped back, now it's nearly 2 years ago now, when I stepped back as the senior leader, it was that time in which there had to be a new chapter, a new season that opened up. And now we're in this new season, new chapter. I'm part of that, but no longer am I the senior leader there. And I'm just enjoying seeing what God is now doing in the new chapter. Some things are the same, but some things are very different. And yet at the same time, there is a recognition that God is beginning to do something amazing. And so here we come to the story of this widow woman. One of the things that I want to see right at the outset is that when you are a follower of Jesus, it does not exclude you from experiencing devastating things in your life. Here is a woman whose husband moved in the prophetic. Here was a woman who was walking with someone who is involved in the work of God. Here is a woman who has seen God at work, no doubt, in their lives. And yet here is a woman who is suddenly devastated because she's experienced grief and she's experienced loss and pain. And added to all of that, somehow or other, she's ended up in a place where she is in debt and is potentially going to lose her sons. I wonder whether you feel devastated this morning because of something that you have lost, because of something that has gone on in your life, something that has impacted you. Perhaps as a church, maybe you feel a sense of loss and devastation and wonder just what the future holds and what waits around the corner. But here is this devastated woman who still recognizes that there is an answer to her devastation, and the answer lies in coming directly to ask for God to intervene. And in that particular day, in that particular time, it was going to the man of God, the prophet. And so she comes to Elijah, Elisha, and she says to him, look, this is what's happened to me, and I just need help here. Where do I go? What can I do? She's desperate for God to intervene. You know, God loves desperate people. People who have reached the end of their tether. People who don't know where to turn next. Problem so often is that we turn everywhere except to the one resource where the answer can flow from. The one resource where we can discover that he's able to do what we could not even begin to imagine. And so if this morning there is a desperation in your life for more of him, a desperation for breakthrough, a desperation for release, a desperation for healing, a desperation for forgiveness, a desperation for a deeper sense of encounter with God's Spirit, then you're in the right place. Because as you come with that sense of desperation, that is where we receive God's heart demonstrated here. Because as she pours out her desperation to Elisha, the response from Elisha, which is the heart of God, is, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? We so often perhaps fall into the trap of thinking that God's reluctant to give, when God's longing is to give. That sometimes we think that God wants to hold back his favor from us when God wants to pour his favor upon our lives. In fact, Jesus emphasized that on one occasion when he spoke about how that we as ordinary human beings, that if someone asks us for bread, we'll give bread, or someone asks for fish, we'll give fish. And he goes on to say, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that ask him? Sometimes we seem so reluctant to ask. What are you asking for this morning? What are you wanting? What are you looking for? What are you yearning for? Church, what are you hoping for as far as the future is concerned? Ask. Because what Jesus went on to say in Matthew 7 is, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And so here is Elijah saying, okay, how can I help? And then he goes on and asks a very important question. He says to her, look, what do you have? What do you have available? It's an interesting response that we get from this lady, because what Elijah is wanting this lady to do is to discern what she has. But what she responds with is what she doesn't have. Often we do that. God says, what do you have? And we say, I don't have this. I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't read. I can't do this. I can't do... No, that's not the question. What do you have? And so she says, I do not have anything. And maybe for some of you this morning, that's where you sit when it comes to working and serving the King of Glory. Because he comes to you and says, what do you have that you can give to me that I can use for my glory? What do you have that I can take hold of and bless? What do you have that I can minister to and through? What do you have that you can lay before me? What do you have that I can create a miracle from? What do you have that you are willing to present into my hands? What do you have? And your response is, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. I'm useless. I'm hopeless. I have nothing to offer. One of the things you need to each and every one of you understand this morning, every one of you has something. Every one of you has something. And for some of you, you have discounted some of the things that are in your lives because you have felt that they in no way can add value to the kingdom of God or to the work of God. And what Father wants you to know this morning is that what you have discounted, he is calling you to give, because when you give, that will then be multiplied in your life and through your life to the blessing of others. I say to you, church, do not allow your mindset to be one of what we do not have in this season. Do not let your mindset be one in which you are constantly thinking there is nothing to offer. But to have that mindset which says, what do we have? And so as she says, I don't have anything, but then says, hold on, I've got one thing. I've just got a little oil. That's not going to do much. That's not much in this current devastating season that can bring about change. It's all I've got, but it might as well not be worth anything. There was a disciple who thought that when a little boy brought his lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, what use is this when you see the need around you? But notice what Elijah says. He says, now you've discerned what you do have, I now want you to demonstrate that you have an expectation that is far greater than what you see in your hands. Because he says, right, okay, you've just got a little oil. This is what I want you to do now, to demonstrate that you believe that God is able to use that little that you do have. I want you now to gather empty pots. Notice that Elijah gives her a clue. He says, by the way, when you're gathering empty pots, don't just get 1 or 2. When you're gathering empty pots, get an abundance of them. Get loads of them. Get as many as you can find. And this is where she and her sons had to demonstrate faith. Because she had a choice at that moment in time. And the choice was whether or not she did respond to what Elijah was saying and just get lots and lots and lots and lots of pots. Having no idea what the relevance of the gathering of the pots was. Having no idea how this possibly could meet her need. Having no idea how this could turn things around. Yet at the same time, she made a choice. And for some of you, God is saying that there are things that you need to do before the release that you're looking for comes. There are things you need to do before the release you are looking for comes. And for some of you, God is also saying, your vision's too small. And what you're seeing is far less than what I want to do. And so here is this woman and her sons knocking on neighbors' doors. Can I have some pots, please? How many? As many as you got. Next house. Can I have some pots, please? How many? As many as you've got. Next house. Can I have some pots, please? How many? As many as you've got. You imagine the neighbours saying, what do they want these pots for? What are they doing with all these pots? See, her faith was not only demonstrating to heaven what her expectation was, but her faith was being demonstrated to the neighbourhood as well. Because there was curiosity there. Why on earth would this family want all these pots? But pot after pot after pot after pot enters through the front door, is laid down in preparation for what God was going to do. Church, be prepared for what God's going to do. Be prepared for what God's going to do. Come with your emptiness, come with your longing, come with your yearning, but come with that sense of expectation of what God is going to do. And eventually, when there were no further pots that they could get hold of, then she says, right, okay, what's next? Right. The prophet says, now I've got to take hold of this little bit of oil, which I have counted as not worth anything, and I've got to pour it out. I wonder how you would feel if, and we'll imagine that this is the little drop of oil, and she might have even had less than this, and you looked, and there was gallon pot there, half a gallon pot there, bucket there, barrel there. No, no. But you see, by getting all the pots in and demonstrating her faith, it had built up her expectation of what was about to come. And even still, she didn't know how this was going to take place. But what she did know was that what she'd been told was, right, now you've got all those pots in place. Now you've made preparation for the release that is about to take place. Now you're ready for what God is about to do. Now you're open for the miraculous about to be poured out. Now you're in that situation where you have opened up the doors of heaven in order that God might pour out a blessing upon you. Now release it. It by exercising further faith and pouring out the little of what you've got. And so she began to pour. How exciting it must have been for her as she poured out, and yet the oil never seemed to empty. As she poured, God poured. As she poured, God poured. Now, the fact remains that you and I know that a supernatural God could have simply said to her, speak a word over those pots and say, pots, be filled. And he could have just filled them. But you see, God wants you and me to work in partnership with him. He wants you and me to be in the place where we become the channels of blessing that he can use, so that as we pour out of ourselves, he pours in. That is why praise and worship is so vital. When we pour out our praise and worship to him, he pours in. That's where prayer is so vital. As we pour out our prayers to him, he pours in. That's why reading his word is so vital, because as we pour out his word and declare it over our lives, he pours in. That's why as we serve him in his church, it's so vital and so important, because as we pour out in those areas of service, using the gifts that he has given us, he pours in. But he pours in more than we could ever pour out. He replenishes again and again and again. And so this widow woman and her sons watched with amazement and awe as pot after part after part after part was filled to the brim. God wants to fill you to the brim, you know. In fact, he wants to fill you not only to the brim, but overflowing from the brim. In order that as he pours in, you can pour out. How will our community be reached? When we, the people of God, pour out our lives as the Spirit of God pours in to our lives. As we recognize that the God of our yesterdays is the God of today and the God of tomorrow. And so here is a woman who, as she deposits the little she has in the hands of God, and God blesses it, she sees the abundance flowing more and more and more. Until there comes a point when the flowing stops. And the flowing stops when there's no further capacity to receive. When she says, bring me another pot, and her boys say, there isn't another pot. At that moment, it is significant, the Word of God tells us that oil stopped flowing. That's why, going back to my initial statement about the download, see, if your life is so filled with other stuff, the oil can't flow. If your life has reached the point where there is no further capacity to receive, the oil can't flow. If we as a church get to the point where we think we've arrived and that there is nothing else that heaven has to offer, the oil can't flow. When we go to the book of Revelation, we see a church there, Laodicea, who thought it had everything. And yet, what did God say? You've got nothing. You've got nothing because you've got to the point where you've settled down, you've got comfortable, where you're living out this experience of just a religious lifestyle with no life in it. And I cannot flow and I cannot pour out. Indeed, he says to this church, a verse that very often is used as a gospel verse, but a verse which in fact is to a church, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with him. So what I want you to know that God wants you to continue to have the capacity to receive the flow of his power and his blessing into your lives and into the life of this church. He wants you to have the capacity to allow him to do in this time and this season the fresh thing that he wants to do, because you see, the oil that was poured out was fresh oil. It was fresh oil. We cannot live on the oil of the past. We have to live on the oil of the present. The oil of the Holy Spirit is constantly flowing. The oil of the Holy Spirit is constantly being poured out. The oil of the Holy Spirit is constantly being made ready for us to receive. Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you ought to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit come in power in Acts 2. Power was poured out. But the Apostle Paul went on to say this at another time, be being filled. It was continuous tense. The filling of the Holy Spirit is something that day by day, moment by moment, we can experience and know and indeed should do, but it's rooted in whether the capacity is there. Because if you aren't empty, he can't pour in. If you're not empty, there's no capacity to receive. And so it was, the oil stopped flowing. She then went back to the prophet and said, what now? He said, now, I want you to live in the blessing that God has given to you. I want you to go and give the oil out. And as you give the oil out, it will release you from the debt that you're in. I'm so glad that Jesus has released me from the debt I was in. The debt I could never pay. The debt of my failure and my sinfulness that was paid by Jesus on the cross when he gave his life that I might have life. I'm so glad that he's cancelled that debt and it's no longer held against me, so that I know that I am being transformed from glory into glory, and that one day I shall see him and be like him. Yeah, he doesn't want you to live in a place of debt. He wants you to live in a place of freedom. She no longer lived in that place of fear. See, fear was released from her life when that outpouring came. She now was able to live in a place of peace, in a place where she had a confidence in God, in a place where she could day by day, moment by moment, see the provision of God and the power of God and all that God had enabled her to discover about him in that moment of time where it began with a chapter of devastation. She was now a woman who understood the goodness of God. She was now a woman who could identify with the psalmist David in Psalm 23 saying, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Do you think she was a grateful woman? I suspect so. Do you think she was a worshipping woman? I suspect so. Do you think she was a woman who had made a discovery that she'd not known before, even though she'd come from a place of religious background and experiencing what it was to be part of a household of someone who moved in the power of God? Here was someone who now had seen something that her husband had not seen, experienced something her husband had not experienced, entered into a fresh, new revelation of the power and the provision of God. I want to say to you, church, that's your future. That's God's heart for you. That in the chapter that is unfolding, that there is an outpouring that God wants to bring. But you need to be in that place of openness and readiness and willingness to receive what he wants to do. It will not be like it was before. And there will be an element in which there is challenge and there is change and there are things that will stretch you and things that will make you uncomfortable. And yet in that time, you will experience the power and the provision and the possibilities of the God who wants to give to you, pressed down, shaken together and overflowing. May you know the opportunities for overflow in your life and in the church to his honor and to his glory. God bless you. We want to declare that you are Lord, Lord of your church, Lord of our lives, Lord of the circumstances and situations in which we find ourselves. And we ask, Father, that as we continue to see your kingdom come in power, we will know the realization of your lordship being outworked in our lives as we come to you with a sense of expectation and a willingness to allow you to do in us what you want to do for your glory. So we ask your blessing upon each of us as we head off to our respective homes. We commit the coming week to you, Father, and we pray that through that week we will know the overflow that comes of having received from you in order that we might release what you've given to us to the blessing of others. We do pray that we shall see change and transformation come to our communities as the kingdom of God comes in power. So thank you again for all your goodness and all your grace and all your mercy that has been given to us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the blessing of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great week. You too.